Now we're going to look at a number of stories of souls in purgatory signaling their need for help, sometimes understood to be human spirit hauntings. Now, if you want to explore this more deeply, there is at least one book that is church approved, has an imprimatur, that you can look to. It's a book called Purgatory Explained Through the Lives and Legends of the Saints by F.X. Shoup. Pretty easy to find if you Google it. Now, in that book, just to give you a sense of it, there's a number of stories going back many centuries, mainly taken from the lives of the saints, but also of just some very holy religious, meaning monks or nuns, and various people from different orders, and then just some very holy people. Now, in that book, we see over and over that the souls in purgatory, when they come to appeal sometimes to another member of their religious order, or to a particularly holy person, they will often appear very visibly and speak. Now, the communication, as we've talked about previously, is limited. They're only allowed to ask for help or ask for assistance. They're not allowed to play 20 questions and get into a dialogue back and forth. And we see that play out over and over in this book. So, some cases that we run into fairly commonly, and I'll give you specific examples. I have one case, a priest friend in California, who I have become good friends with over the years. How we met was an apparent human spirit haunting in his church. It's not that uncommon for manifestations to happen in churches. We just don't talk about it a whole lot. Now, that's not to say scary things are happening in churches at all, just that sometimes the souls that are seeking help may manifest in minor ways. In this case, it was simply the sound of somebody walking on the floor, the wood creaking, the footfalls, the sound of the clothes rustling as they walked, but there was nobody there. And this has gone on for a number of years. A number of people had experienced it and commented on it. But like we said before, it does not cause fear. These manifestations are not designed to induce terror in the person. They're not inherently scary. Though it can be startling when something moves on its own, or if there's a noise and you know there's not a person but you're hearing a voice. Of course, that's startling, but it's not designed to cause fear. Now, in that case, the appropriate prayers for the dead, intercessions for the dead, were said, and the manifestation stopped. So that was a fairly simple case that was kind of unraveled over a fairly short period of time. The two main ways that we intervene in cases like that is the Mass and then the Office for the Dead, which essentially are the priest's prayers on the days that they do funerals out of the breviary. And that includes petitions to God to forgive their sins, to help them understand that they need to finish their journey in purgatory, which they understand, but it's exemplified through scriptural readings. Reminders of all that theology is in there. So that case was a very simple one. And these type of minor manifestations in churches, they do happen. I wouldn't say we deal with them every month or even every 6 months, but they do happen. Now, a very common type of house case are situations where there's been either murders or suicides. I was dealing with a case with a family in another state, a little bit south from where I was. The father in the family had committed suicide by shooting himself in the head on a couch in their basement. He had a wife, and I believe it was three children. Now, we got involved in the case about 6 months after this event had happened, and slowly over time, over that period, there was both a feeling of malaise and depression in the basement, which you could easily attribute to just psychological factors. It's horrifically traumatic for a parent to kill themselves, and to be in the space where that happened would naturally cause anybody to feel sad and depressed. But what went on in the house is that slowly over time, more and more manifestations that seemed to be unusual started happening. Knocking, banging, mumbling, coming from the basement, different things being seen in the windows and reflections in the house that were very distracting to people. Footfalls are very common in that type of case. And so slowly over time, the effect on the family went beyond just feeling sad when they would go into the place where this happened, which is of course natural. But the kind of depression and sadness and weight and heaviness of it just kept increasing and increasing and increasing. And it got to the point where it felt to the family members and his widow that it was too much, that there was something strange going on. Nobody was able to really work through the issues. They were just getting worse. And then these manifestations in the house started happening. So it had been about 6 months. It had been increasing for about three. And in that case, it was fairly simple, as most of these human spirit hauntings are. Went in, simply said the office for the dead, right at the location where he had committed suicide. A sense of peace entered the area. All manifestations stopped. The malaise in the family members lifted immediately. Everybody felt lighter. They didn't feel as depressed. And everything was good. And actually, by coincidence, met some people that knew them about a year later and heard that the family was doing as well as they could be. Of course, it's, again, a tragedy to lose a parent. But that case and all those manifestations were resolved simply. Another case that I worked on that seemed to be pretty clearly a human spirit haunting was the result of a murder. And in this case, there was a woman who had been very loving and caring towards a number of troubled youths in her area. And this one young man who got mixed up in some criminal activity and criminal lifestyle had often appealed to her for some guidance and comfort when he was in trouble or mixed up with this stuff. And she had been very kind to him and very Christian in her approach to him. Well, one night he got mixed up in some trouble again, and he was gunned down running to her door for solace, and he actually died on her doorstep, the front door of her condo. Well, within a month, a number of manifestations started in the house, in her home, particularly in the room right near where the death had occurred. There was noises in the house. There were dark shadows seen moving through the house. There was banging, and there was also a sense of presence. So in that particular room, when you would go into it, it felt extremely heavy and weighted down, a sense of despair, in addition to the knocking and banging and shadows that she was seeing in the house. This case was a little more difficult to resolve than the church case or the suicide. It took a number of visits, and it didn't have a sense of complete peace even after that. And that brings up a point with human spirit hauntings. Really, the people addressing cases should have some formation and experience in this and have access to others to talk to, because that case is an example where it's very possible that other spirits, deceptive demonic spirits, may have taken advantage of that sin of murder and of her relationship with him to try to sneak in, pretend to be him, which she felt it was his soul, in order to get her to consent to some relationship with it. So it was a case where it did seem likely it was a soul in purgatory, but the way the case was responding wasn't completely the way we would expect. And so you're always on guard and reevaluating cases as you go along. Now, in that case, things did eventually settle down, but it took a number of visits and prayer sessions. Now, there's a number of cases the church has addressed that happen in seminaries or rectories where the priests live. And this can occur, I think, more commonly because there are priests present in these places. And so it is probably more acceptable and allowed by God for souls to petition priests and religious for prayer and assistance than it is for the petition towards us, the regular faithful. That's just a guess, though. We can't be sure. But I have seen a preponderance of cases of what seem to be human spirit haunting souls in purgatory manifesting in rectories or seminaries. So one case that was shared by a priest who has provided training in this area, this was not my case, but I think it's a good illustrative case. There was a priest living in a particular parish who, when he died in that parish, at that rectory, unbeknownst to the other priests that he was living with, had a number of mass intentions slips in his desk that had never been fulfilled. After he died, there was immediately knocking, doors opening and closing, primarily knocking going on in the house to the extent that they couldn't explain it, they couldn't find an explanation. It started right when he died. Now, the priest investigating that had a lot of experience in this area and determined, walked in and said, "Are you Pastor so-and-so?" And it immediately knocked twice. And he then asked it if he was in purgatory. It signaled yes. And then they figured out through looking around that all these mass intentions had been unsaid. The bishop in that diocese disseminated those mass intentions out to multiple priests so that the masses were said quickly, because there was quite a few. After those masses were said and that debt or that obligation was fulfilled, all manifestations stopped in the rectory. So there's a number of situations like that that we see where a priest's duties as a priest are very important. And not only is a priesthood important in terms of the petitioning of that soul, more commonly in churches, in rectories, in seminaries, to people that are involved in the religious life and the priesthood, but also priests themselves seem to be held to a very strict standard for performing their duties of the priesthood, and in this case, related to the mass intentions. Now, what could one do if you suspect that there's some activity in your home or some building that you have authority over that seems like it could be a soul in purgatory, signaling for help? Well, in our culture, in our lifetime, it's become very common for people to reach out to these quote-unquote paranormal investigation teams. What used to be a strange hobby has now become normal in our culture, and there's thousands of these groups all over. And we'll talk about the paranormal, modern spiritualist movement, kind of a paranormal craze more later. But it's important to understand that with the souls in purgatory, bringing in a group of people that usually their primary interest is just to try to record some data that indicates that there's a spirit manifesting isn't going to do anything to help that soul. How is asking a spirit to perform for you going to be of assistance to a soul that needs prayer, intercession, given in love and charity for it to help it complete its journey in purgatory? That doesn't make any sense. And further, there's a certain cruelty to that approach when we think about somebody we love. So if I was thinking about, say, my mother, my father, and they had passed on, and if they're in a state of suffering, of separation from God, and in distress, and signaling and reaching out for prayer, if we think about it that way, how does it seem to go in the room and say, perform for me, manifest for me, oh, you made a noise, do it again, do it again, do it again, okay, bye. There's a certain cruelty to this approach. Now, most paranormal investigators, in reality, are engaged in that hobby for selfish reasons. It's usually to assuage their own anxiety about whether there's an afterlife, what happens after they die. They're seeking some evidence about that. It's very often about seeking contact with somebody that they lost in their lives, a loved one, somebody that they cared about, and they're seeking some comfort about that, or even to communicate with them. Or, more recently in our history, it's just to become famous. It's become trendy. People see that people are getting TV shows related to this, and so they may be seeking that fame. None of these things are really about helping a spirit that may be manifesting there. If it's a human, it's all about selfish pursuits. And, you know, we understand, I think, that prayer is something that we do voluntarily out of love for each other, including praying for the dead, which the church has had a strong history of doing. So you really don't want to bring paranormal groups in. Beyond those issues with paranormal groups, they're not generally formed in theology or understanding what's going on, so they're generally not praying for the dead, like we've said. They're there for selfish reasons. But beyond that, when they come in, they tend to invite manifestation, provoke it even. And when you do that, if there are deceptive evil spirits nearby, following them because they're almost certainly involved in tempting them, you open the door to that spirit. You give it legal spiritual rights to manifest. You invite it to have a relationship with you. Well, now you're doing that inside somebody's home. That homeowner has given you the authority to come in and engage in essentially necromancy because you're calling up the dead and you're asking them to speak on a recorder or to signal information. So now you've given permission to a group of people to perform necromancy in your house, strongly forbidden scripturally, violation of the first commandment because you're turning to another spirit than God for comfort or information about the afterlife or about life in general. What this can do is it can open the door to a worse type of situation, a demonic infestation, where now that evil spirit that's deceptive and is happy to pretend to be a ghost has been given carte blanche to manifest in the house through the sin of necromancy. And this can in fact be what starts a demonic infestation, the next level of seriousness of cases that we're going to talk about. And this is one of the common routes that leads to demonic infestation. And by the way, oppression of the people doing the paranormal investigating. As a side note, about a fifth to a quarter of the cases, at least that I've seen and that we deal with in the church, are paranormal investigators themselves. So there's a surprising number of people, not surprising once you understand it, that develop very serious personal problems, spiritual problems related to these practices. So, if we shouldn't call paranormal investigators, who should we call? Well, it's very obvious, I think, that I would suggest that you talk with your pastor in your parish. Let them know what's going on. You don't want to paranormal investigate in your own home. You don't want to try to get recordings of these things, invite them to manifest in your home in order to document something to go to your pastor with, because you're engaging in possibly overstepping the line in a necromancy yourself then, and that can compound the problem as we just discussed. So you want to do is document, write down what's going on. Don't invite more manifestation. You want to document or be able to summarize with your priest what's going on in the family. Are there a lot of stressors in the family lately? Has there been major change or trauma within the family? Understand the background. Is there mental illness in the family? Is there physical illness in the family? All these things are useful to try to rule out any mundane explanations for things. And then go to your priest, go to your pastor, and explain, this is happening in my home. Is there any way that you can help us? And hopefully they will be able to visit you and have the time to come and pray and say the prayers. I would suggest that in general, it's a good idea to bless your house. So if your home hasn't been blessed thoroughly, meaning going through all the rooms, all the closets, attic and basement, if you can get to them, with holy water and at least a little bit of incense along with a formal house blessing, that would be a good time to do that. And that to an extent will kind of clean the slate if there's some deception going on. That doesn't necessarily drive out demons, but it helps clean the slate a little bit, and it'll give the priest some feedback. If there is demons present, they may manifest at that time. So that's something that, you know, should be done, and it can be a good diagnostic. Now, after the house blessing, the best thing that you can do is have a Mass said for the repose of that soul. The Mass is the most powerful prayer we have in the church, of course. So sometimes Masses are said in the home, in some situations, or in the location. For instance, there's at least one seminary where a number of Masses were said in the room where somebody was living when they died in seminary. Or it can be said at the church with an intention for that soul, if there's some certainty about who that would be. Like the example of the husband who had committed suicide in the basement right when the manifestation started, pretty sure that it was that soul, and so those Masses could be said with that intention. The advantage of the Mass said in the home is that it can be offered for whatever soul might be manifesting there. That's the most powerful way. In addition to that, the office for the dead is a wonderful thing to say. even if only part of it is recited for that soul and maybe the rest is completed later. Generally, human spirit hauntings are resolved fairly quickly, meaning one or two visits, you know, maybe one mass said, and it generally comes to a close. So now please allow me to close with a case that shows that things aren't always simple in this work, and they can have very serious consequences. There was a case I was sent to investigate where a couple who had gotten involved in paranormal investigating as a hobby, with no particularly negative motives, and were enjoying that as a hobby, and joined a group, bought the equipment, and they were doing this activity. Apparently there was a house where a pedophile had hung himself and killed himself. I don't know how they got access to this house, but it apparently had activity in it. Now, whether that was human spirit in purgatory, whether it was a damned soul, which is a little bit of a complicated issue, but damned souls essentially are property of Satan, as the demons are, and so it's possible that they're mixed in with the demons in demonic manifestations, or whether it was a demon that perhaps had incited the various temptations in this person that they had succumbed to ultimately through the sin of murder of self. We don't know. But the manifestations were not, to my understanding, overtly demonic or destructive or terrifying, but they were enticing to paranormal investigators. Well, they went in there, and the wife and the couple explicitly opened herself as much as she could emotionally, spiritually, however one imagines that, and invited whatever was there to interact with her. She felt something gravitate towards her immediately, and it seemed to stay with her and followed her and her husband home. It ceased to be an investigation of some location, but now it was in their house. They had a number of issues in the home that were actually quite serious. They were very disturbed by this, and they didn't seem to be able to get it under any kind of control. And they reached out to the church for help. So that situation luckily resolved pretty quickly with prayer. But the biggest part of that resolution was more catechizing, or basically educating the people on how all of this works, and how the act of inviting and opening yourself to a spirit explicitly, particularly in a situation like that where it's not really clear what's going on. And to this day, I can't be sure what it was that gravitated towards her in that home, one of those three situations it was, soul in purgatory, damned soul, or a demon, or some combination of those. But it does seem that something very destructive and harmful gravitated towards her, in the sense that what was going on in their lives was disturbing, and it seemed to be related to some of those sins, in the tinge of it all. So we have to be careful to not too quickly say, okay, cases are simple. They're clearly either in this box or this box or this box or this one. In reality, it doesn't always work out that way. In reality, there's multiple things going on at the same time in some situations. And in reality, the resolution isn't always completely clear. Sometimes we have to work at these things. We have to discern. And it takes time. And in the midst of all that, there can be a lot of suffering going on, as it was for this couple. Now, when things were resolved, they did make an immediate and firm commitment to stop the paranormal investigating. They were terrified of it, and all of the equipment was in a garbage bag on the front porch. So that one ended well, but I'm aware of a number of cases of paranormal investigating that didn't. So thank you. In our next segment, we're going to be taking a closer look at actual cases of demonic oppression, when people give rights to demons to affect them.